Today for our Bible study, let's turn in our Bible to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And let me read these first four or five verses of Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. God said, I have redeemed thee, Jacob. Fear not, I have called thee by thy name. God said, you're mine. I chose you. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. God said, when you're in trouble, I'm with you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, not be consumed. The flame shall not kindle upon thee. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now, Isaiah 43, verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Just one Savior, that's Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel. He said, I gave Egypt for your ransom. And he did. He destroyed a nation to save his national people, Israel. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my son from far, my daughter from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name. Now listen, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I've made him. Now every believer, those who've been called by the grace of God, who trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all his salvation, every believer is a creation and a formation of God. God's almighty grace. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul put it this way, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you believe and trust God and look to Christ alone for all your salvation, it is the Lord that worketh in you. This is God's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. God created Jacob so he could make him into Israel. You read the record back in Genesis 32. God gave Jacob, conniving, cheat Jacob. God transformed him and made him into Israel, Prince of God. And God did this on purpose and God did this by his grace because of Christ. Even so, God created all men in Adam that he might take out of Adam, form and transform a people into the very image of Christ. The apostle, when he wrote to the Colossians, Paul said, we give thanks to God. He has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in Christ. He transformed us out of the kingdom of darkness, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What I'm saying is salvation. As I've said over the years on this broadcast, salvation is a work of God. God's purpose and God's grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now all this God has done for us and in us for one reason. That he might be glorified. That's the bottom line in salvation. And the grand design. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived in this country, Jonathan Edwards, who was one time president of Princeton University, back in the early 1700s, wrote a book called The History of Redemption. And one of the lines I remember in that book was, he made the statement that the grand design of redemption is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. The Word of God bears this out clearly. In our text, verse 7, he said, I've created him for my glory. I've formed him. Yea, I have made him. Salvation is a work of God. It's his glorious work. It's God's enduring work. That is, God saves his people not with a temporary salvation. God saves his people with an everlasting salvation. He says that in several places, but in Isaiah 45, verse 17, he said, I saved you with an everlasting salvation. And God's salvation is a perfect work. You see, it's a work of God. It's not the work of men. Salvation is not what we do for God. Salvation is what God has done for us. And my friend, he never does an incomplete work. It's a perfect work. It's an enduring work. It's a glorious work. And my friend, it is a complete work. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10 says, In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. Now, the word of encouragement in this text is Isaiah 43, verse 1, Fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by your name. God says, You're mine. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, let's look at these particulars in these verses here, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I would encourage you to get your Bible and turn over to Isaiah 43, and let's read these verses together. Now, here's a word of encouragement to you who believe. God Almighty says, Thus saith the Lord that created thee and that formed thee. He said, I've redeemed thee. I've redeemed thee. Now, instead of God justly leaving us to pay the debt of our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Instead of God leaving us to justly pay our sin debt, in which we are unable to do, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in and paid all the sin debt for God's covenant people. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. He obtained eternal redemption for his covenant people. Hebrews 9:12. Now, several things we know about this redemption when he said, I have redeemed thee. The first thing we know, it was a costly redemption. We're not redeemed by corruptible things. We're not redeemed or delivered by our works. God bought us with his own blood. Peter put it this way in his epistle. He said, You're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. It's costly. It's precious, isn't it? That's what redeems us from sin. It's the blood sacrifice of Christ. And this blood sacrifice of Christ is complete. That is, he completely put away the sin of God's sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we read the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Matter of fact, the blood atonement, and we're redeemed so completely in Christ and so fully and so totally that God Almighty said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. So it's a costly redemption bought with the blood of Christ. It's complete redemption. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And my friend, it's a particular redemption, a particular. He said in the text here, I have redeemed thee. In Matthew 1:21, the angel messenger from heaven said, Call his name Jesus, which means Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. Now, the blood atonement of Christ is not something that's scattered and miscellaneous. God doesn't work that way. He shed his blood for God's people, for God's sheep. He said, For the transgression of my people was I stricken. It's particular. The atonement of Christ was given to save God's covenant elect people that he chose from the foundation of the world, and they shall be saved. Not only that, but this redemption is satisfying. Satisfying to God. Isaiah 53 says, He shall see the travail of his soul, the sacrifice of his soul, and shall be satisfied. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. You see what I'm saying? These are words of encouragement. God said, I've redeemed thee. And that gives me comfort and hope because I know I'm unable to put away my sin. I'm unable to redeem myself. He redeemed us. And then he says in this text, For I have redeemed thee. Then he said, I've called thee. I've called thee by thy name. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has called us unto himself. All those bought with his precious blood shall be brought to Christ in saving faith. God calls his people with the gospel. of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. Now, we didn't call upon him first, nor did we choose him first, nor did we love him first. We love him because he first loved us. We've chosen him because God, in that covenant of grace, first chose us. He called us with the gospel. That's what he said here. Matter of fact, in the same text, it says, you've not called upon me. Isaiah 43, verse 22. He said, you didn't call upon me. God called upon us. And he does this with the gospel. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, it pleased God through the preaching of the gospel to call you. Now, this call of God with the gospel is a personal call. He said, I've redeemed you, therefore, because I bought you with my blood, I've called you by your name. It's a personal call. In John 10, we read, the good shepherd knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. Something else about this call of the gospel, it's an effectual call. It's an effectual call. In the same chapter, Isaiah 43, he said, there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall prevent it? Who shall stop the work of God? It's an effectual call. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they do follow me. It's a powerful call. Powerful call of the gospel. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. And my friend, it's irresistible. It's irresistible. God irresistibly calls. Can a sinner prevent the work of God? Well, who do you think God is? My friend, he's almighty. None can stay his hand. None can stop him. None can say to him, Lord God Almighty, what are you doing? Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is all of grace. That's why we call this broadcast the Sovereign Grace Broadcast. Because the scriptures teach that salvation is a work of God. God saves whom he saves on purpose by the will of God. And then let's read on in Isaiah 43. In the next verse, he said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. God won't forsake his people. They're redeemed, they're called, they're a tried people. But my friend, they will never be forsaken. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. When you go through the waters and through the fire, they won't consume you. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then in verse 3 of our text, he said, I am the holy God. I'm the Lord thy God. Now, who can make such a broad, far-reaching, wide-sweeping, comprehensive promise? I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Jesus Christ, my friend, is God our Savior, and he will spare, and he did not spare any expense to save his people. He said, with my own blood I bought you. You're mine. He's the Savior of the people. He's God our Savior. And then in verse 4 of our text, Isaiah 43, verse 4, he said, you were precious in my sight. You're honorable. And he said, I've loved thee. Now let's look at three words in verse 4. Precious, God said we're precious in his sight. That is his elect, his people, honorable. And God said, I've loved thee. Three words of encouragement, precious in my sight. Now, we're not precious in our own sight. We say with Paul, wretched man that I am. But my friend, every believer is precious and valuable in God's sight. We're valuable to God not because of what we've done for him, but my friend, because what he has done for us. In Christ. He's made us new creatures in Christ, a new creation. And then he says, you're honorable. Now, we're born in a dishonorable state. In Adam's sin and guilt, we've dishonored God. We've dishonored God by our own sin, but we've been made honorable by the sovereign grace of God, by a new birth in Christ, by a new dress. He is the Lord our righteousness. By a new nature, he has given us, by the inheritance that we have in Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In his sight, because of Christ, we are precious, honorable, and loved of God. Now, my friend, this is the spring and source and fountain of all spiritual blessings to us. The love of God, which is manifested in Christ Jesus. Let me give you five things about the love of God we find in Scripture. It's eternal love. God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's sovereign love. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God will love whom he will. God doesn't love all men everywhere. The love of God is manifested in Christ. It's eternal love, it's sovereign love, it's unchangeable love. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And my friend, it's free love, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He said, fear not, I'm with you. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. What he's saying in these verses here, 5, 6, and 7, God is saying, those for whom I chose in eternity, those for whom Christ died and redeemed, those for whom he perfected righteousness, they shall be saved. None for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died will ever perish. The covenant of grace and the oath of God, the promise of God, will not permit such. He said, all the Father hath given me will come to me, and those that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Words of encouragement, Isaiah 43.